Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell and Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Hey, April Cordova. Welcome to Design Oracles. You know me, Amity, and I'm here with Diane.
Yep, hello. Great to have you.
Yes. We're very happy that you made the time to come be on the show with us. And this season, we're talking a lot about the materials that go into people's homes, what makes up the homes that people live in. And a big piece of that, two big pieces of that, are plumbing and appliances. So you're here today to educate us and all about what it is that you do. So thank you. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, April?
Yeah, so April Cordova, I work for Ferguson. We have two showrooms in Austin, and we specialize in plumbing and appliances. We do sell lighting as well. I've been with the company for 16 years at the same location. So I'm pretty well-versed and a veteran here at Ferguson. So it's a great company, quality product. So I'm excited to talk to everybody about all of the fixtures that we offer and services.
And April's one of the highest grossing salespeople at Ferguson
year. Oh, that's great.
Yes.
We like every to think year, yes. We like to think we help with that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes. All from my amazing clients that I've worked with, most of them over 10 years.
Yeah, we have for sure. So, great.
Yeah. So I'm excited to be here.
Yes, thank you.
Cool. So I guess we could start out with maybe just talking about, I mean, you just work with people all the time, all day, interior designers, architects, probably maybe some builders, and then, of course, the end users, the clients. What do you think is the most interesting thing you get to teach them kind of a day-to-day basis?
I would say just product knowledge, the trends, quality, getting to meet new people. Everybody has kind of their own ideas already, or they need our expertise. We have an amazing showroom that's 20,000 square feet in South Austin. So we have a lot to show and to offer customers. And if they don't see it here, we can definitely find it somewhere most of the time.
Yeah, I was saying your showroom is fantastic. Definitely. It's a great place to learn about everything.
It is overwhelming to some end users, but
that's why we're there, to guide them and try to keep them focused, because it is very full of lighting and shiny things.
Shiny objects that you get distracted by, for sure.
Yes.
How has it changed over the years in response to the market needs and kind of the different trends like you talked about?
Actually, when I first started here, we only focused on plumbing. So that was kind of the main focus 16 years ago. And the market, just the Texas market and the Austin market in general, was very traditional. Lots of bronzes, some blacks, brushed nickel, just very like Spanish as well, I would say. And now, over the years, we've kind of seen it go, definitely, I would say, more modern, farmhouse modern. Color is a big thing. Finishes are really big. A lot of the clients that are coming in now are wanting something different, something that they're not seeing in other clients' houses, or something that, you know, you don't see every day. So you see faucets now that have marbles or different finishes, acrylic, lucite. A lot of that's kind of a trend, even with some of the lower end brands, and not higher end brands are kind of bringing those in as well.
So you really have to keep on top of that.
Consumers are looking.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to keep on top of.
Yeah, we definitely do. Yeah. And I would say in the past 10 years, then we kind of grew into the appliance industry. And now we're, I would say, one of the biggest appliance showrooms in Austin, and one of the top selling showrooms. We display all of the manufacturers, all the high-end manufacturers. We have a beautiful Sub-Zero Wolf kitchen, Thermador appliances. We'll have a new kitchen soon. So we're really excited about that.
We love when you get new kitchens.
We have some lighting and hardware on display.
Yeah, we love when you get new kitchens. And I also do love that you have cabinet hardware, because sometimes it's helpful for clients to have a one-stop shopping moment. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, but a lot of times it's helpful for people because they can start to understand how one decision that they make affects the other decision. So the plumbing finish for the faucet in the kitchen, how that's going to relate to the cabinet hardware that's in the space. So having those examples and those built-out spaces is really helpful in selling the products.
So how do you assist them with the selection? So let's say someone comes in and they're doing a kitchen. So, and Amity, you can probably help.
Yeah,
we've got appliances, plumbing.
For sure. Yeah, and I think it's probably different depending on whether or not you're working with an interior designer or an architect or a end user, because ideally the interior designer is giving you an idea of what other materials are going on in the house. But if they don't, what does that look like? Why is that important? Tell us a little bit about why it's important for you to know the overall materials that are happening.
Yeah, so I would say just to get an idea of what they like if their style is farmhouse modern, if they're more of a traditional customer, transitional modern, having, you know, Pinterest boards or house or pictures kind of helps me give an idea so I can guide them to certain manufacturers, certain finishes. Because not every manufacturer offers a wide variety of finishes. So finishes, I would say, is probably one of my first questions when I meet with a customer. And then from there, I guide them to, well, I have to show them this manufacturer because they offer that versus another manufacturer.
And then because you have so much in your showroom,
so
do they, since you have so many in your showroom, do they suddenly go off and say, oh, no, I changed my mind, because they see, you know, I don't know, they see like a bronze or something and they'd come in thinking they wanted stainless?
Yeah. Well, and also like, especially in the brass family, everyone's brass and gold is different. So they might have already selected something online, and then they come in and they're like, oh, wow, it didn't look like the picture. So then we end up reselecting products.
I think one of the things that you and I end up kind of talking a lot to people about is what makes up the cost difference between something like a Newport brass or a Delta. Can you talk to us a little bit about, or the flexibility? What reminded me of it is the flexibility of the finish options, because like you said, you lead with what are the finishes, because then that helps you know which product line to show them. But even from there, they need to know how these pieces and things are manufactured and what makes up a faucet. Or
a higher end brand like Newport Brass or California Faucets or Watermark, they'll offer one, a variety of finishes. So that customer who is looking for something different, a different finish, you can pretty much get anything in their entire collection and every finish. Whereas someone like Delta or Moen, they do have some golds, but you're only going to have one gold option, not a manufacturer like Newport Brass that is going to have five or six different golds. Newport Brass also, most of the higher-end brands have brass shower heads, brass tub spouts. Basically, all of the products are going to be brass versus a Delta, which is still great quality, but you can feel the plastic might be tough. The tub spout may be plastic. The shower head may be plastic, the handheld. And that's okay for certain people who have to be in that budget, which is why they do have different finish offerings. Like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, if you see a Delta there, the drains are plastic, they're not brass, the cartridges aren't ceramic. Every manufacturer that we display in our showroom has ceramic cartridges and brass drains. So the quality, you will see the difference in the quality between something at a box store versus something at our store. And you can honestly also feel it too.
I think that's really a very good point to sort of stay on for a moment, because it's something that I battle with people, the understanding of the client about why can I not just go somewhere else and get this product. Sometimes the trim out, which goes on the outside of the wall versus what's on the inside of the wall when you're talking about plumbing, for instance, they're like made differently depending on the manufacturer, and they don't always marry together, right? And so there's, you know, you can't just go online and find a different shower head for a trim out for the body that's in the wall. It's a different, you know, a different quality, a different type, and then just attach a different shower head to it all the time. So I'm talking very badly about it, but can you talk a little bit, you know, about that and like how, what people, what the frustration is there?
Yeah. So, the valve in the wall is basically what makes your shower work. So, for someone who's doing a custom shower, you have to make sure you have the correct number of valves, the correct, that valve is going to push the pressure, enough pressure for all of those fixtures to be on at the same time. Valves are not universal. So once you put a manufacturer's valve in the wall, you have to stay with that trim handle from that manufacturer. You can't buy a Kohler valve and then think that you can put a Delta trim on the Kohler valve. Now, shower heads, hand showers, those are universal. Those actually are just a half inch outlet stub out. So if somebody doesn't like a shower head from one manufacturer, they can mix. But then you're mixing finishes as well. And every, like I have said previously, everybody's finishes are slightly different. So they may not be an exact match. But that's why it's important to definitely come to a showroom. So you make sure you have the correct valve in the wall, all the pieces that you need. Especially with custom showers, there's a lot of pieces that put something together, especially if you're doing body sprays, rain heads, you know, a ripped shower head handheld. There's multiple components needed to put all of those together. Some manufacturers require like knowing if you have glass walls or how many exterior walls. You need to know the size of the shower. So there's a lot of questions that we need answers to basically put everything together.
I always, I think once people do have an opportunity to come to a showroom and work with a professional like you, they start to understand that it is complicated. There's math involved. There's calculations about volume and water pressure and how far the drop is from the in the shower so that the shower head, the rain head works. And there's just so many. It's a very expertise. It's an expertise. You know, you need that expert professional in that role to do, especially the custom homes that we do.
Yeah.
So
if you have a wall mount sink, you know, you're going to have the matching key traps and all the things like that.
Oh, yeah. Those wall mount sinks and the faucets in the wall. Yeah. Those are so much more complicated than people realize.
Yes.
They are. There is so much to know and figure out and make sure you've got everything specified. Yeah.
For sure. So we've talked a little bit about plumbing. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of like what you wish people understood about appliances when they come in the door? Or what's the first thing you kind of start educating them about? You've talked about with plumbing, you talked about finishes. How do you start when it comes to appliances?
Appliances, the one thing I like to start with first definitely is budget. Because we have anywhere from kind of entry level, like GE or Whirlpool, to mid-level KitchenAid, GE Profile, GE Cafe, Bosch, to high-end. So, you know, Thermador, Decor, Sub-Zero Wolf, Miele, you know, and somebody's going to walk in and love it, but then it's going to be extremely over their budget. So budget first. Lead time is a big thing right now. I love appliances. I feel like they're a little easier, not as many components that you need, like plumbing. But currently, we are still, unfortunately, feeling the effects of COVID, even though it's kind of past us. Some manufacturers, especially the higher end manufacturers, you know, they're into a year lead time right now. And then there are certain manufacturers we can get in 3 months. So lead time right now, I would say, is a big factor. For a homeowner who's doing a remodel, let's say they're not taking out their cabinets, the size of the hole or the size of their current appliance is really helpful to us. So we can make sure that whatever we're selecting will fit that cutout. Although we do offer pre-sites, so our installers will go make sure whatever they select is going to fit. It just helps us just with the overall process to kind of have an idea. I would say those are the main things. And then it gets to, do you want something in a color? Because color is big right now. So if somebody wants a blue or a red range, you know, there's only a few manufacturers that I can show them that will have that finish offering. Most appliances are stainless steel. So, and then if somebody wants panel ready and they just want it to blend in, I don't know if Amity, if you want to go into panel ready, because
I'm sure she does.
I do. It gets me very excited. Yeah, I am not a fan of stainless steel at all in any form, except maybe a faucet. I don't know why, but I've just never been a fan. So I think it's nice to integrate the look of your appliances into the cabinets as much as you're allowed. And I know some stainless steel is going to show, and sometimes I like black appliances a lot. I like white appliances. I did a specialty color for my stove, and I did brown, like a beautiful kind of rich chocolate brown that blends in with the cabinets. And so it's fun for me to let people know that that's an option. I love to tell the story of when we were putting my kitchen together, and my dishwasher was a panel-ready dishwasher, and it went in place, and the beautiful stained wood panel went on top of it. And my 11-year-old daughter was standing in the kitchen, and she said, "Oh, my God, Mom, they forgot to put a dishwasher in. You can't see one anywhere. Where is it?" And I said, "Oh, look, it's right here." And just that. And the refrigerator, too, has stained wood panels on it. So when you open it, people go, "Oh, that's not a cabinet. That's a refrigerator." So I do love that. So you just need to know that in advance. It's not
for sure.
Good, bad, or otherwise, but it's, you know, if April's helping you, she needs to know to show you something that can receive a panel that's custom made, and the cabinet makers make those panels. It doesn't come from the appliance companies. So you have to think then what kind of handle goes on it. Is it an appliance handle that April sells you? Or a decorative hardware panel. Yeah. So, or pull.
Yes.
So, yeah, I obviously love that subject.
The colored appliances are really awesome too. And it's definitely on trend. Mm-hmm. I have a lovely.
You do.
Cobalt blue. Blue Star range, which April helped me get.
Yes, you do.
And I love it.
I also love, April, when we come in to visit with you and you tell us about your house and what you have in your house and what you like about it and what you don't like about it. I like how honest you always are when there is something names will not be included here. But if there is something that you say, this is how it functions and I know because I use it. I like that you are very honest and open about true feedback that you've heard from clients and things. And I always feel like I can reach out to you and say, have you had any calls about this for maintenance and that kind of thing, and get a true answer from you.
Yeah. You know, because a lot of our day we are spending with the client, you know, so if an owner is having an issue, obviously we're going to support them on the customer service side. But, you know, if I sell someone a great product, most likely they're not going to have those issues, you know. Mm-hmm. And then also they'll come back when if they're remodeling again, or they may have moved, you know, our building or remodeling another house. I've had a lot of repeat customers, you know, because they've been happy with what we've sold them previously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good that you can be there. You know, they know you're gonna be there when they come back. And that you're going to stand behind, you're going to want to stand behind what you sell them. So another favorite subject of mine is refrigerators and counter depth refrigerators versus standard. Yes. So April, you can have the floor on this one because I know you feel passionately about this too.
Okay. So there's four types of refrigerators. So there's standard depth. These are your deeper refrigerators, bigger refrigerators. And then there's counter depth. Counter depth is typically nicer in a kitchen. It's typically, they stick out as far as your counter, which is why they're called counter depth. You do lose space versus a full depth refrigerator. But I I don't know if anyone's ever had it. A lot of people have had full depth. You lose things. You forget the things are back there because you can't visibly see them. So
yeah, you're like, something smells and I can't see it. Yeah.
And then we have built-in refrigeration. So built-in refrigeration is semi-flushed with your cabinet. They're usually taller, 84 inches. They can go all the way up to 48 or wider if you want to separate those refrigerator from freezer. And then you have integrated. Integrated refrigerators are fully flush with the cabinet. They don't stick out at all. We see them a lot. They're becoming more and more popular because of how seamless they are. And most owners that do integrated, almost 99% of the time are going to panel it because they don't want to see it, which is why it goes away. The difference is pricing. So, like, I would say counter depth built-in are probably our most popular. Counter depths are typically in the $2,000 to $4,000 price point. And then it jumps when you go built-in integrated. You're, you know, talking 8, 9, 10, keep going up depending on manufacturer. So those are kind of the main differences, but we don't sell very many standard depth anymore because most owners just kind of want to see the refrigerator go away.
Yeah.
I always like to tell customers, especially when they get too, they're like thinking about the appliance finish too much, and are worried about maybe mixing their hardware or their plumbing fixtures with an appliance. I always like to tell them an appliance is an appliance, right? Mm-hmm. It's there to work. It's there to do its purpose. It's not really like the focal point of your kitchen. That's what I always like to tell an owner, especially when they're trying to, they really want this brass faucet, but oh, my appliances are stainless steel. So
I agree.
And I think, also mixing finishes right now is.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm glad that mixing finishes is okay now and that people are doing it more because we have a lot of metal finishes to think about, right? We've got like the appliance finish, the plumbing finish, the light fixtures, the cabinet hardware, and whatever furnishings and things that go in the room. So it's nice and very freeing for people to be more open about that, I think.
Well, even on my range, yes. I have the blue, I have copper handles, and I have some stainless pieces and some blacks. So
yeah, all in one.
Yeah, that's all in one. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I think we find that people are so worried about that storage space on the refrigerators and if they can still store enough. And I had the experience of going from the full depth to the counter depth, and I do not miss the full depth. In fact, I don't know that I would go back because, like you said, you lose things, and I feel like I'm so much more efficient and more organized in my
And even if you lose space on the inside, as April said, you gain space in your kitchen for standing. And for moving through the space.
And I haven't had the trouble of keeping a turkey in there or anything big or a cake.
Your kitchen looks more open.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I've met with you, April, and had people bring maybe their favorite pizza box with them for the pizza they always get and open the freezer and put it in to see if it fits. We had that experience once. So.
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yes. Refrigerators. Refrigerators are one thing, and then ranges, and people get very passionate about the ranges, April.
Yeah.
Like, I think crying and Thermador versus Wolf. And so talk to us a little bit about what are the differences between them, the griddles and the finishes, and if you could give us that spiel.
So ranges. So they go anywhere from 30 to 60 inches, right?
Huge.
So
that's huge.
Dual fuel is a big dual fuel versus all gas. So dual fuel means you have gas on the surface and electric in the oven versus all gas, which is gas on the cooktop and gas in your oven. So dual fuel is going to cook more evenly, basically. The fan is moving the air around versus a gas where, you know, I have a gas oven. I don't mind it, but I do have to, you know, check it and then kind of turn it just to make sure that everything's getting cooked evenly in there versus a dual fuel where you don't have that problem. Of course, a dual fuel is higher price point, but it's definitely worth it. You have self-clean and dual fuel. There are some gas ranges that do have self-clean, but it's not something that you see very often. I would say a lot of customers are definitely going to a dual fuel, and ranges are definitely more popular than doing a separate wall oven and a cooktop these days. A lot of owners are liking the look of a range. I think it also opens up cabinet space for them. It gives them more cabinet space to do a range versus doing a separate cooktop and wall oven. With ranges, you also have optional griddle. Some manufacturers have optional grills. Depending on how big your range is, you can actually have a griddle and a grill. Most customers go for the griddle because almost everybody has some outdoor area here in Texas where they have a grill already, so they typically won't put one on the interior. A lot of consumers already did their research, so they kind of know already which they want to go with.
You mentioned ranges being popular. So when it's not a range, when people want an integrated wall oven, or I know there are steam ovens, there are induction cooktop, can you talk to us about that? I personally have an induction, and I know when we sent you some preliminary questions, you had some things to say about that. If you could talk about that, it'd be great.
Yes. So there are actually some ranges like Miele and Thermador where you can actually have the steam oven in the range. So that is becoming popular because steam cooking is a healthier way of cooking, a healthier way of, you know, warming up leftovers, so that's an option. Induction is basically a form of an electric oven, but not really. It does boil faster than gas, and the reason being is it creates a magnetic connection with the bottom of the pan that you're using. So let's say you have a 10-inch surface, but the pan you're using's 6 inches. It's only going to heat up the bottom full surface of that pan versus gas, which gas typically heats outside in. So it's boiling from the outside coming in. But so it does take longer versus the induction where it's heating the full surface. So you'll get a faster boil. It's also because it's creating that magnetic surface with the bottom of the pan that you're using. That means the rest of the cooktop surface is not hot to touch. So if you have young kids, typically they won't burn themselves if they happen to touch the cooktop. Or if you have a young kid like me who likes to help you cook, it's a safer cooking cooktop than a gas. So induction is very popular, and I'm sure Amity can speak on it. I don't personally have one at home, but how fast it boils water. It's pretty impressive.
For us, it was kind of a party trick for about the first year we had it. People would come over for no reason just to visit, and we'd say, come to the kitchen, let us show you how fast the water boils on our new induction cooktop. And I thought it was fascinating to read about how it was actually developed in the 1920s, and that it's not a new technology. It's newly popular, but it's an old technology that did not get... didn't take off the way other technologies did. Anyway, I went deep on my investigation of induction.
Well, and it's also always a good alternative for someone who likes to cook on gas but can't get the gas for their house. So a lot of times you can.
And we're using it a lot with integrated. So in my house, I have an induction cooktop and an integrated wall oven that sits like a range would be, where the cooktop's right over the wall oven. So instead of having the wall oven off to the side and higher, because that's what my kitchen allowed for. I didn't have space for a wall oven separate location. And it makes for a very clean, open space, and everything, all of the heating implements are all in one little area, which I like. But mostly it just feels very mid-century in the way it looks, which I liked because my house is a mid-century house. So it's also easy to clean. And it doesn't heat the kitchen up.
Yes.
Which is nice in Texas because we're constantly battling with, you know, having to cool things down. It's so hot here. So that's been a really nice feature.
So what are ranges made up of as far as materials, how they I don't even really know.
You mean like a range versus like an induction?
No, like the inside guts of it.
Yeah, April, what you got?
So they have like fans. There's a lot. Like yeah. Some of them have porcelain on the inside. It's easier to clean.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the higher end ranges have slow close hinge doors, you know, where you don't get slamming. So there's a lot of parts and pieces to put the range together. That's just one of the reasons they're kind of delayed a little bit right now, but it's definitely worth the wait.
Yeah, I feel like there was a moment, at least I was aware of a moment in time where everyone, this is probably 10 years ago, wanted a kitchen that felt industrial. Like they wanted it to feel like a restaurant kitchen. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, I want a range. It's like a range. And I want it to be hot and to boil things fast and to be loud and clanky. And I want a Zephyr. And I want a Zephyr fan hood. And I want a refrigerator that has a glass door so you can see everything inside for efficiency. And that was a moment. I feel as though a little bit now the moment is changing, at least in the clients that we're servicing, into a quieter kitchen, more less hot, less more integrated, like we were talking about. But people will still want a range. If they want a range, they want a range. There's just not a lot of people who are going to be flexible in that.
There's a lot of people that also just want wall ovens.
It's true.
And I don't really like them because they take up space in the kitchen. You have this tall thing you got to deal with in the elevation, right?
Yeah, well, yes.
They don't look as nice.
Depends on, you can put them low, but yes, usually people put them in a tower. And
anyway. That's why they want them.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to bend over.
So
yeah, I think when it comes to the kitchen, I think entertaining right now is a big mm-hmm. thing. So that's, you know, why you'll see a lot of finishes and multiple appliances. A lot of my clients, I feel like recently, like, entertaining is a big thing.
About, and I've noticed people do their research there too, right, April? When we come in the door to visit with you, people are usually like, not this, but then you can talk to them more and kind of educate them and get them where they need to be. So tell us about that.
Almost always, typically somebody will already have a dishwasher that they either love or hate, and they'll want to stick with that manufacturer. If it's a manufacturer that, you know, I've sold quite a bit of, I don't have any issues, I typically won't try to push them to something else. If they're happy with something, like they have it in their house, I'm okay with selling them what they're happy with, especially if I haven't had any complaints on it. So dishwashers, you know, making sure it's stainless steel interior is a big deal. It helps with the drying, just sanitary purposes. Quietness is probably the main thing. Most dishwashers nowadays are quiet. So I have one at home. I think that's 48 decibels. I can hear it, but barely. So as long as you're under the 48 decibels, you should not be able to hear it. Most of them have a light or a noise that comes on when the cycle's done. Cycles aren't a huge thing. Most customers always use the same cycle. So there are some that have, you know, quick wash, sanitary, China crystal cycles. There are some that have interior lighting. Some of those features are important to certain clients. I would say not all. The quick wash and the just auto are, I would say, the most popular. There are some dishwashers that have heating elements. Some manufacturers do. So basically, if you have plastics, you will have better drying. But some of the other great manufacturers don't have that. They use an air dry system where it pulls air from the outside in to help the dishwasher dry. Three racks is really popular. You have more room for cutlery. So that we see a lot of requests for, definitely. Panel ready. So most manufacturers offer panel ready. So that I would say is another big feature that most dishwashers have. I would say those are kind of the main thing. Oh, a lot of the higher end manufacturers will tell you, do not rinse your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You can take the big pieces off, but the dishwashers detect the soil. It, you know, helps them clean better. So that's a big thing that they tell us. You don't have to rinse it anymore. These aren't the dishwashers from 20, 30 years ago. You can just put it in there as is. and they will come out spotless.
So I cannot wait to play this part of the podcast for my husband, who insists on rinsing everything off. And then,
he does? Oh, my gosh. And celebrate the dishwasher.
Yeah, I don't. I barely,
celebrate it.
I barely change. I just put it in right after I finish making. So I'm glad to hear that. So since we're talking about one thing I don't want to forget to mention, because I think we've covered most of what we wanted to bring up today, is the hoods, the vent hoods. Can you talk to us about, because you mentioned noise, and that I know is a big factor for people. So can you tell us about how to use your vent hood and when you should turn it on and what you should look for in how it works?
Yeah, so noise is a big thing with vent hoods. A lot of them won't tell you actually how noisy they are. There are a couple of manufacturers where I usually recommend for a customer that entertains a lot, because some of them you can actually you can have a full conversation and hear someone you're talking to when the hood is on full power. If you have a gas range, especially a very powerful gas range, you want to make sure that you have enough CFMs on your hood, so it's going to pull that air. Hoods are actually some of the number one fire causers in households, because the grease builds up, and a lot of customers don't know how to clean the filters. So that's one thing that some manufacturers, like, you can pay $500 for a hood, but it's not going to have a easy filter to clean, or it's going to be one where you have to buy a new filter. And there are some manufacturers that are higher end that have a really easy to clean filter that you can get the grease off and clean. Cleaning your hood is a lot of customers don't do it, but it's actually important to clean those filters.
Mm. Very good to know. And then I thought it was really interesting to learn that you're supposed to turn your vent hood on before you need it, like as you start to cook. Is that correct?
So it's already pulling the air.
Yeah. So when you're about to fire
up. Because it rises, the smoke rises so fast, you want the hood on before you start going.
Interesting.
So, and also it depends on what you cook, right? So if you're boiling something, you don't need the hood on, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah. If you're making fish or
stir frying or doing something like that, you definitely want it on.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, April. Yeah, this is incredible.
So like,
I learned so much that I already thought I knew so much, but I learned more. Definitely making my staff listen to this too, so they can get up to speed.
Yeah, we're always updating the showroom. We have a nice new California faucets display that no one's seen yet.
Cool.
So everyone's welcome to stop in. If you just want to stop in and browse, no appointment needed. So
awesome. Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. It's time for me to come visit. Check it out.
Yeah, definitely. It looks a lot different, so I highly recommend it.
Great.
And thanks for being so great with all our clients, too.
Yeah, we appreciate you so much, April. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Design Oracles. And if you like the show or learned something new, please give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you are listening on. Follow us on Instagram at Design Oracles, and you can also find more information at our website, designoracles.com.